Hey, man. Latoya said, Pastor Crawford. I said, oh, yeah, I got to preach. I just want to keep singing, amen. And praise God. Oh, I'm never going to die. I am never going to die. My last breath here is going to be my first breath with Jesus, amen. I'm telling you, that's exciting. Christ arose. Christ arose, amen. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. Another glorious passage with His resurrection. Usually we're in the Gospels, but we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15 this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul is declaring this faith that we believe in, this death, burial, resurrection. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. We're in 1 Corinthians 15:2. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, here it is, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
And that He was seen of Cephas, then to the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, some had passed away. He continues about the witnesses, verse 7. After that, He was seen of James. Then, of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your love to us. Father, I'm humbled as we all are when we read Your Word. And we understand that all of this came forth because of Your holiness, our sin, Your love for us, to make a way that we might be forgiven and that we might have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. God, we thank You for the blessed, glorious gospel. And Lord, I pray that You would fill me with Your Spirit and help me preaching and teaching the message this morning. Lord, that in our hearts might bow and worship at You for this glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we understand that You rose again that we might rise again, that we might be able to be with You in that sense. And so, Father, we thank You and we praise You for that. What a great love. And, Father, I pray, again, that You'd fill me with Your Spirit. Help me preaching and teaching. Fill Lisa with Your Spirit, relaying the message in sign. I thank You for the Word that's gone forth already in this Sunday school hour. And God, might we realize that we're so blessed to have the living Word of God, to have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, those who placed our faith and trust in You and been born again already. We have Your Spirit to teach us and guide us. And anyone who's not yet been forgiven for their sins can get that done today, calling upon Jesus Christ to forgive them, save them from the endless death they deserve, that we all deserved, that we might have the endless life that we we've never earned. You earned it for us, Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise you. Lord, I pray you'd be glorified today. I'm thankful for each one here. I am thankful, God, for those with us online. You're alive. And you are ready to give us the power, Father, to live this Christian life. You're ready to save the lost. And you are ready to strengthen the saved, Father. And I pray that you would do that this morning, those that are here with us, both here and online. And Father, we do pray, we do ask these things in Jesus' name for His glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes about this glorious faith. And we see that in verse 6 there, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And he says, talks about that gospel, middle of verse 12, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? There were people slipping into the church who already were saying there's no resurrection from the dead. They were saying it and probably trying to teach it while most of the witnesses who saw Jesus Christ were still alive. How much more do we need to be ready for that today? Amen. Hey, He rose again. And if He didn't, our faith is vain. There's no sense in us being here this morning. If there be no resurrection, verse 13 of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. What am I doing up here? And your faith is also vain. What are you believing in if Christ didn't rise from the dead? Because in fact, that's what they all preach. That's what the book says. And yet we have this. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 15. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Well, I'd be a Christian even if there wasn't a life after death. Then you don't know what being a Christian means. Because being a Christian means that if we live godly, we are going to procure upon ourselves persecution from this world. And only a fool would do that if there was no reward, if it wasn't worth it. No. Christ arose, amen. And we worship Him. We're going to look at some things, and I pray be encouraged about the power of God and the fact that He has done this for us. 1 Corinthians 15, resurrection, the Redeemer for the redeemed. He raised again. God didn't need Jesus Christ to come down here and die on the cross and rise again. We did. And in a sense, God did too. But there's only one reason. Because of His love for us. And it was the only way that we could get to heaven was if His Son died for us and rose again. So we'll look, first of all, this morning, we'll look, number one, at the fact of the resurrection. The fact of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. What is all this talk about? Christ, you don't believe in a resurrection. Well, if he didn't raise again, what we're preaching is vain. What you're believing is vain. But in the midst of the chapter, Paul throws in the foundation. But now what? Now is Christ risen from the dead? That's a fact, brethren. That's a fact. That's the truth. That's a fact. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. What? Thy word is truth. We just read the truth there. Amen. Christ did rise from the dead. The evangelists, preached that. The gospels preached that. We find it in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They speak about his sufferings and what he would go through, and they put them in various different phrases and words in the beginning. But in the end, all three of them end with the exact same phrase. And the third day, what? He shall rise again. He shall rise again. Amen. John, he puts it a little differently. In John 16, a little while, Jesus speaking, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Verily, John 16:20, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Amen. Why did those disciples give their lives for that story? Because that story was true and they saw it with their eyes. Amen. And you couldn't bribe them with the world to keep them from speaking that truth, because they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they knew the truth. I submit to you that no man, unless you're an absolute fool, would die for something you know to be a lie. No, they saw him with their own eyes. And they lost. The Apostle Paul lost all his wealth, seems like all his health, all his position. Why? Because he too had said, last of all, he was seen of me. And he says, I'm going to a place where all that stuff I'm leaving behind don't really matter. Because God is going to make me different, and I'll have more. I have abundant joy the rest of my endless eternity with my Lord. Praise God. Even his enemies said to Pilate, Sir, Matthew 27:63, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Yeah, he said very clearly that he would. He said very clearly that he would. Peter, when he was preaching in a temple, that great revival there in the beginning of the book of Acts in chapter 2, he's preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he quotes the psalm, David. He calls David being a prophet and a psalmist. Acts 2:30, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, to David, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He's seeing this. He's seen this before ahead of time. Spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. All of us. Psalm 16:10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thine holy one to see corruption. That was the prophecy that David gave. Paul preached, Peter preached it. By the way, Paul preached the same thing in Antioch of Pisidia on his missionary journey, that Christ rose and David said he would in Psalm 16:10. Acts 13:29, and when he, Jesus, had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days, Acts 13:31, of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are witnesses unto the people. God has fulfilled this promise. If Christ be not risen, 1 Corinthians 15:14 right here, then is our preaching in vain. See, all the apostles were preaching the resurrection of Christ. All the believers were preaching and speaking the resurrection of Christ. But it's in vain. Matter of fact, think about that, that actually would be preaching lies. Actually would be servants of the devil if Christ hadn't risen. The devil. Who's the father of lies? The devil, according to John chapter 8. So they not only would have been lying, they would have been servants of the devil. Oh, that's a good book, but it's not perfect. Don't give me that. This is a good, perfect, holy book. It's not God's word at all. Amen. Thank God he rose again. Did that for you and I. The fact of the resurrection. Fact of the resurrection. Think about, secondly, the faith of the resurrection. The Apostle Paul preached it. All the apostles preached it. And in that passage we just read, the Apostle Paul was just reviewing what he preached. He said, here is the message that we have been put out. This is the way of salvation. This is the foundation of our faith right here. He wasn't actually preaching it to them. He was reminding what he'd already preached to them. And he said, by the way, this is how people are going to be saved. Here's what God did. Here's what we must do. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we see those things. He says, I declare unto you the gospel by which ye are saved, verse 2. So we get saved through the gospel. Well, how's that? If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, you got to remember the gospel. If you change the gospel, then it's not the gospel anymore and you won't be saved through it, okay? You got to remember the foundation and keep it straight. That's what he says. If you keep remembering what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. See, he says in verse 1 that they had received it. I preached unto you, which also ye have received. See that? How did they receive it? They believed it. And Paul says, now, don't change it. Because if you believe something else, that won't work. But you know, nobody else will get saved. You keep preaching. If you change the gospel and then keep preaching that, nobody else will get saved by it. You got saved by what I taught you. And if you continue to preach exactly what I taught you, exactly what the Scripture says, then people can continually be saved as they believe in it. But if you change it, there's no promises there. That's what he's telling them. He says, I deliver this to you by which you're saved. They believed. By the way, what did they do to get saved? They believed. That's all. They believed. That's all. Don't try to add your baptism. Don't try to add your good works. Don't try to add your church attendance. Don't try to add all that. All your good works failed. My good works failed. The proof of that was Christ hanging on the cross for your sins and my sins. That's the proof of that. We don't trust in those things. We are the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit and what? Have no confidence in the flesh. No, eternal life's a gift. And we receive it, they received it, by believing in it, and that Bible word believe means to trust in. It's like we put our arms around it and we embrace it. I'm not letting it go. And we believe that by faith alone. It's what? Verse 4? He was up. Here's the gospel that he, verse 3, end of the verse. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day. What? According to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. Trusting that all of that was done for me. Had a friend that posted something about the cross and said, "We'll never appreciate that the cross was for us until we realize that the cross was by us." He died on the cross for me, but He went on the cross because of me. See, it was my sins that put Him there. Don't try to blame the Romans and the Jews, okay? It was my sins that put Him there and yours. And until we personally realize that, we'll never fully appreciate that He died for us. That He died for us. Faith of the resurrection. It's a bodily resurrection. Notice in Luke, here the disciples are meeting in that room after the resurrection. They got the doors locked, and they're just certain ones have seen now and Jesus, and they're starting to return. In Luke 24, as they spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." He's appeared in this room, locked doors. Oh, it's a spirit. He just drifted through. Hey, you're half right. Let's read on in Luke and find out. He says, they were affrighted and supposed they had seen a spirit. And He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." See, we're going to see this morning that the resurrection body is a spiritual body. See, there's a body and it's not a spirit. And there's a spirit, and it's not a body. But when you and I get a new body, it is a spiritual body. That means Jesus could walk through a wall, and then He could eat a fish sandwich. He can do both. The body can't walk through a wall, it can eat the sandwich. The spirit can walk through the wall, but it can't eat the sandwich. Jesus says, "Where I'm taking you, you can do both." Whew! That's going to be glorious, amen. That's going to be glorious. Handle me, see. By the way, when the stone was rolled away from the tomb, they didn't do that to let Jesus out. They did that to let the disciples in. He didn't need that. He didn't need that stone. That stone moved away. He just walked through out of that tomb the way it was. When it rolled open, it was already empty. So that others could see the faith of the resurrection. Thirdly, I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, Mark 14:49, but the Scriptures must be fulfilled. You must believe in a bodily resurrection. Oh, well, I believe the gospel. Jesus rose again, but not bodily. That's kind of a little bit hard to believe. So, in the the Spirit. It's out there. And that's what I believe. Guess what? You didn't get saved. That's what my Bible says. My Bible doesn't just say we have to believe that Christ rose again. My Bible says we have to believe that Christ rose again. What's the last words? According to the Scriptures. Amen. There's some false teachings out there that say, well, Christ died. He didn't rise bodily, but His Spirit's there for everybody to have and everybody that wants to do good, you know. No, no. He rose bodily. Amen. And those who believe the gospel, His death, and by the way, He died all the way, okay, He just fainted. The body wasn't stolen out of the tomb. Not one historical account actually addresses the body, proves the body being stolen. None of them say it. They're trying to explain the empty tomb. They believe they stole it. That's another message. All the evidence for the resurrection. We have to realize that. Thirdly, the facets of the resurrection. Let's consider things about this resurrection body. Christ and ours when He raises us again. First of all, the facets of the resurrection. A, the pattern of the resurrection. It is like Christ. A bodily resurrection. Look what he writes here. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Now what is that? It's calling Christ the first fruits. What is that? In the Old Testament, they would bring an offering of first fruits to the priests. When Israel went into the land, they would first start plant their crops. And the first wheat or barley, whatever that came up, they would pluck a sheaf of it. And they would bring one sheaf to the priests before they would take their harvest in and take the rest unto themselves. You'd read about that in Leviticus 23:9. And verse 10, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. You shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish. There's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just one sheaf. And he waves it. And then the offer of the lamb, that's a picture of Christ. And then what happens? Then they go out and they reap their field and they bring in all the rest of the sheaves, by the way, which are just like the first one. Your resurrected body and mind is going to be like Jesus. It's going to be just like it. That's amazing. Now what's inside of us is going to be different because He's God and we're not, okay? But the body that we live in, that resurrection body, is going to be just like that one that came out of the tomb with. What a glorious thought. What a glorious thought. Isn't it merciful of God? I mean, we've lived all our life in a body. Isn't it merciful of God and gracious to give us something, those things that are familiar to us in heaven also in eternity? And how merciful is it that the Son of God would determine to live the rest of His life in a body? Well, He's eternity. He didn't have a beginning or an end. But that He would be living in a body. When we get, guess what we're going to see Jesus in when we see Him? A body. Guess what He's going to be in the millennium? A body. Guess what He's going to be in the new heaven and new earth? A body. That's something familiar to us. And He loves us, and we have that closeness, that fellowship, and we're going to have it for all eternity. Why? Because He condescended to us. Amen. I'll put on a body for them. That's how much I love them. What a God. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. Amen. Romans 6:5. What's it say? Romans 6:5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be what? In the likeness of His resurrection. In the likeness of His resurrection. That's exciting. I mean, you think about what Jesus did when He rose again. Walking through those walls, yet eating some honey and such. Time had no limits on Him. He went and saw the guys that were walking out of town to Emmaus. He went and saw, of course, Mary Magdalene first. He went and saw the other ladies. It seemed like time had no pressures on Him. That's pretty amazing. Jesus Christ put on the first resurrected immortal body, the first fruits. Was the first one to do that. And He did it for us. And when our time comes, the harvest comes in, it's going to be the same kind of body. What a blessing. What a blessing. The pattern of the resurrection. It's going to be like Jesus. What else we see? The power of the resurrection. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Here we have your doubters. Those are saying there's no resurrection. And I like that Paul answers them very quickly. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. So you get seeds from the plants when they die. You put them in the ground and then the plants come up again. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. God gives it a body. Where'd it go? That's okay. See what that is? That's an apple seed. That comes when you pluck the apple off the tree. Let the apple rot on the ground and decay. What's left? The seed. Now, what's going to happen to that seed if it gets on good ground? It's going to become a fruitful tree. And you know what it's going to produce? I'm going to take the rubber band off it here. It's going to produce this. Now, does that look like this? It doesn't look like this, does it? You thou fool. You're not going to see the body. You're trying to explain. You want me to explain to you? God hadn't shown me the other side yet. Oh, I know a lot about it. But you're a fool if you think God can't do it. Amen? And that seed there. Look what he says writes in verse 38. They said, how are the dead raised? Verse 35. And with what body? I like the way Paul answers it right away. But God giveth it a body. There's the how. God's the one that does it. God does that miracle. Well, what body does it come with? He says, as it hath pleased Him, however God wants to make it. Why was that apple round, preacher? Because that's the way God wanted it to wind up in the end, okay? Why was that one red? That's because that's what God put in that seed. So that it would run, that particular apple would wind up red, read like that. God had it all planned out. See? He's powerful. He's over all. And then in verses 35 through 44, we begin to look at God, the master body maker. Okay? The Apostle Paul is going to talk about the miracles of God and his ability to make this resurrected body for you and I that some people doubt. And by the way, the very body that Christ put on coming out of that tomb. We're reminded of these miracles. He says, the master body maker, plants, animals, man and animals, plants, stars, the spiritual body. We'll look at these things. He says, he talks about plants, that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. The grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as pleased him, and to every seed his own body. The plants. Moving on from the plants, Paul illustrates the difference by humans and animals. This great God who's able to do this. Look at verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. Look at all the different kinds of animals and flesh God's made. I saw a documentary with a lion chewing on an alligator. He'd come up on the bank and that lion was just sitting there on his back, as the alligator sitting there like. Lion couldn't figure out what to do with it. Now a leopard knows what to do with it. That's another story. But a lion don't. He couldn't chew through that. When he got done, the alligator went back down in the lake. That tough flesh. But yet you grab a little butterfly and you squeeze that wing too much, and it can stop flying. Just a little, and that thing will die. Look at the difference in the bodies that God has made. The vast difference. It's an amazing. God's an amazing creator, isn't he? The tardigrade. Well, that's a snailfish. Bring it back here. The tardigrade. It's a microscopic organism which looks like an eight-legged worm. They have been found in deserts, glaciers, hot springs, at the top of the world's highest mountains. In extremely harsh conditions, they fall into a death-like state called cryptobiosis, a state of extreme dehydration. They can remain in this condition for decades and still return to active life when exposed to water. You want to talk about a mighty God? You want to talk about the miraculous body maker? That's our God. Recently, this is just, I think it's just this year too. Recently, and I went too far here. Recently, they discovered a snailfish. How deep down was this snailfish? 27,000 feet down. The Marianas Trench is 7 miles. That's just a couple thousand feet, I think more than that. A couple more, yeah. 5 miles down, the Marianas Trench is, I think, 7 miles deep it is. 5 miles down. Unknown species of snailfish. Deepest fish ever caught on camera. They had that little camera baited there, and the fish came up to it. Brother Dennis has shared with some of us about the time that his sub was going down, and how that they kind of thought that was going to be the end, and he ended up getting saved through that. And that sub began to creak, and you could hear that, but it wasn't that far down. You know how many pounds per square inch that is? That's 12, almost 12,000 pounds per square inch. That's where that little fish lives. God made that body. He's a miraculous body maker, isn't he? God says, and Paul says, and you're asking how? How is this going to happen? Look around you. God has shown off, amen? And he can do it. He can do it. What about that? And then Paul moves out to space. He says, verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. You ever been out camping and you look at the stars and there's some bright ones and there's some faint ones and they're moving a little bit, and there's something a little bit different about all of them, except for the ones that are so far away that our poor weak eyes can't see anything but the same thing. That's an amazing testimony. The nearest stars to us are part of the Alpha Centauri constellation. 4.2 light years away. What is that, preacher? What are you saying? 4.2 light years away. Well, let me ask you this. Light travels pretty fast. Let's see how long it takes this light to hit that wall. You ready? I'm going to time it. Here we go. Miles a second. miles a second. So what's that mean, preacher? That means I can turn like this and blink. And in the time that I blinked, light has gone around the world and passed me twice. And it's halfway around the world again before I finish my blink. That's how fast light travels. And by the way, traveling that fast, it would take you 4 years to get to that star. 4 years. How does this body come? You see, the more we read, the more we realize this is no problem for God, okay? This is just no problem for God, amen? He's going to make that body however He pleases, amen? However He pleases. Some things we see about this spiritual body that we're going to get. The spiritual body, and we'll be quickly done here. The spiritual body is one of perseverance. Look at verse 42. So also, well, verse 44 says, it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. Verse 44. Verse 42, so is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. When I die, where are they going to put my body? They're going to put it in a tomb. It's sown in corruption. The human body, once life passes out of it, will be reduced to bone anywhere from 2 years to 2 weeks, depending on the exposure to oxygen, moisture, and heat. Of course, animals and stuff, but I'm talking about something that's sealed. 2 years to 2 weeks. Corruption. It corrupts. See, why does my body corrupt and why will yours if the Lord doesn't come back before we expire? I hope He will. Because I've sinned. See, God has given me, already promised me a new body. But not now. See, that body, it's sown in corruption. We see loved ones that pass away, they get weaker and weaker. And pretty soon we see the corruption. And if we could dig up the grave and open up, we'd see the corruption even more. And why is that? So God reminds us of the horrible nature of sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. God says, I want to leave you a picture. I'm coming back and going to take all care of all this for you. Death's going to lose her sting. It's lost it now. But one day what? We're going to get a new body too. But I want you to remember, here's what sin did. What an amazing thing. That new body is incorruptible. It is one of perseverance. It's going to last forever. What is it? The spiritual body is one of purity and praise. Look at verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. And the things I was saying really apply to this. It's sown in dishonor. Why does my body decay like that? Because I've sinned against God. By the way, if you die and get put in, and get put in a graveyard, or you get cremated or whatever, that's proof that you didn't live a perfectly sinless life. That's dishonor. Your body is reflecting that dishonor because you have sinned and I have sinned. It's sown what? In dishonor. It's raised in glory. When I get my new body, guess what else? Guess what I'm not going to have when God puts that new body on me? My sinful nature is going to be gone. That which made the first, the natural body corrupt is going to be gone forever. And when I put on that new body, there's going to be no corruption in that body because there's no sin. It's going to be purity and praise. It says it's raised in glory. You want to talk about what it's going to do to all the glory of God? We're trying to do it now. We'll do it perfectly then. Amen. We'll glorify God for all eternity. Thirdly, the spiritual body is one of power. It's sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Let me tell you something. Jesus came out of that tomb. They weren't putting Him on that cross again. You can lock the door. He's still coming in. Say, power. Power. He takes us out of the grave. You see also the promise of resurrection. Verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And at the end of the passage there, what's he say in verses 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. I'm getting the wrong passage here. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Death is swallowed up in victory. There's the promise. Amen. We see the praise of the resurrection. Death is swallowed up in victory as we saw. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But what? Praise. Thanks be to God was given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to put on the body that was like His. He's going to put it on me when He returns. And so we have the proclamation of the resurrection. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as your labor is not vain in the Lord. About 2 minutes and I'm done. Fourthly and finally, the faithful and the resurrection. The faithful and the resurrection. Look at Paul writes, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications, that's false doctrine in the context. Some people were saying and preaching there's no resurrection. That's what he's talking about there. Any false doctrine, any false teaching, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If you believe false teaching, you will have false living. That's what he's saying. And then what's he say? All right, awake to righteousness. Wake up. Get back to the right doctrine. Get back to the right living. Wake up. Awake to righteousness. What? He writes, and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You know, believers, Christ has risen again. You know that he said, because I live, ye shall live also. And we're going to live in the same kind of resurrected body. And what Paul is writing here is, you know that. Don't listen to these doubters that say there's no resurrection. You know the truth. Don't listen to these deniers of the Word of God. Don't be living in the sins of the world. Because if you do all those things, you should be ashamed. Because you know better. And if you're a Christian, God has put His life in you. That while you wait for that new body, you can live for Him in righteousness and holiness. You can be departing from sin. You can be different from the world. You can speak differently. You can act differently. And Paul says, do this because there's some that don't know these truths that you know. They're still dead in their sins. They haven't been saved yet. They need to hear that gospel you're trusting in, that you believed, as outlined in those first 8 verses of the chapter. You got saved by believing that. Some people haven't got saved yet. And shame on us. If we're born again, and we know the message, and we live like the world, shame on us. Let's not do that. Awake to righteousness. Sin not. And then he tells us, again, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain, but I want you to be faithful. I want you to be spreading that message. You know what you have in Jesus. You know what He's done for you. You know what He's enabled you to do. These false teachers, the devil, these are all going to try to trip you up. But don't you fall for it. You know where you're going when you die. You know the rest of the inheritance that Jesus is going to give you. He came out of the tomb so I could come out of the grave. Amen. And by the way, if I don't die before He comes, what's going to happen? According to 1 Thessalonians, we shall be changed on the way up. Amen. We'll just put the new body. He's going to put it on us, you know, on the way up. Actually, before we take off, I don't want to take off at that speed in this body. Okay, you'd be reduced to a skeleton at that point. All right. No, He's going to give us a new body first, right? What a glorious God! What a glorious God! And we have that to look forward to. We ought to be setting our affection on things above. Amen. And living for that. And while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. We have so much to live for. We have a living Word. We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts once you trust Christ as your Savior. Once you believe those things that Paul wrote and trust only in Jesus Christ, Once you realize that your sins put Jesus Christ on the cross, and I can say that too, my sins put Jesus Christ on the cross. And Paul said he loved me and died for me, and I can say he loved me and died for me. And by the way, you can say he loved me and died for me. Amen. And when you do that and trust him alone, believe these things about him, the Bible says you'll be saved. You can do that. One person was justified in the Bible. His prayer, believing in God, his prayer was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. All those things are true, what I've just heard. I accept that as truth. And now, God, here's my prayer. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Done. Death, burial, resurrection of Christ for you. Because of you and your sin, because of me and my sin, but also for you. So you can have and be with the Lord one day. Brother Dennis, I close with this thought. Brother Dennis was talking about the Lord could not sin. And that's true. That's true. He could not sin. But we have to remember why he could not sin. There's something that precedes that. And that is, he could not sin because he would not sin. See, that was his nature. His love for the Father was being tested. By the way, he is God, okay? Actually, his love for the Father was being manifested to us, is a better way to put it. See, when he got really hungry, his human nature was hungry. He was craving food as much as you would and I would. His physical nature would say, can't you get something to eat? I'm dying here. That's what his physical nature was screaming. But his divine nature was saying, No, I love my Father. And I would be disobeying him if I ate when my fleshly nature wants to and my spirit and God doesn't want me to yet. And I love my Father too much. The answer is no. No, body, you don't get something to eat right now. No, you're not going to turn that stone to bread right now. Because it's not my Father. His love for the Father, his love in the Father, was always greater than all the cravings of the flesh. So that's why he could not sin, because he would not sin. His love for the Father, and by the way, for you and I, kept him from that. Kept him from that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the love of Christ. And God, how encouraged I was as I prayed and read and studied for this message this morning, and just reminded of your grand and glorious power and all the fathom depths of your love for us and all that you have prepared for us in Christ. And Lord, you're coming again. You promised. And it might be a day like any other day, as Brother Dennis said, but it'll be a different day that day. And Father, we'll be with you. And until then, help us to heed the admonition of the Apostle Paul. Help us to awake to righteousness and sin not. Help us to live for things eternal. Help us to have our hearts set on heaven above, not on things on the earth. And help us to live and labor for you and reach out to those around us with the glorious gospel of Christ, that they can know sure salvation through faith in Christ and a blessing to serve you while we wait for our home going, whether it be up from the grave, changed forever, dear God, or through the air, changed forever. Father, we look forward to the day when we'll see your blessed Son in that body. And Father, we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory.